You are listening to Kilometre Zero by the Cycling Podcast. Powered by Zwift, the fitness app where fun is fast.
Well, that's a message from Pavel Sivakov, Lionel. He's been on fire, hasn't he?
Hi guys, sorry for yesterday evening, it was a bit full gas, with a late start, with a late finish, we arrived a little late and obviously with all the crashes I had the day before, I'm a bit full gas when I'm back.
Well, that's Pavel Sivakov, the Ineos Grenadiers rider who's had a pretty eventful start to his first Tour de France. He's one of nine riders keeping an audio diary for us throughout the tour, and we're going to hear excerpts from those diaries in the regular episodes, but especially in Kilometre Zero starting today. Now, of all our diarists, it's Sivakov who's been the most prolific so far, hasn't he?
He has, and he's had a very eventful opening few days. Well, a terrible opening day of the tour, his debut tour, two crashes, couple of minutes inside the time limit as a result, and well, he's been taking time out from his recovery and recuperation to keep us updated on how his tour is going.
Well, in this episode we'll hear from some of our audio diarists. Just to run through all of them, they are Nikias Arndt from Team Sunweb, sort of good road captain. Nikias Arndt thought that would be an interesting perspective. Lukas Postelberger from Bora Hansgrohe, Connor Swift, another debutant from Arkea Samsic, Jens Kukulair from EF Pro Cycling, Sam Bewley from Mitchelton Scott, Simon Geschke from CCC, Tom Southam, he's our DS, he's from EF Pro Cycling, Ryan Gibbons, another debutant from NTT Pro Cycling, Michael Morkov from De Koninck Quickstep, and the aforementioned Pavel Sivakov. So let's get straight into it, shall we?
This is Pavel Sivakov.
I'm riding for the Ineos Grenadiers, and I'll be taking part in my first Tour de France. So here we are, presentation done, first day done. To be honest, it's a pity that coronavirus is there. Just maybe one third or even like less than a third of a crowd that should have been there in normal time. Only 1,000 people allowed, especially after yesterday the rule changed. Was supposed to be 5,000, but Nice became a red area in France, so only 1,000 people. But yes, special moment. Was nice to have all the meeting, everything that, yeah, just get to started. So here we are, another day tomorrow, final little rest, and then we get to it. Looking forward to it. It starts really to get long, really long, I would say even. Just excited to be at the start line.
Hello everyone, my name is Mikael Merkel. I will be your dearest at the Cycling Podcast for the coming 3 weeks during this year's Tour de France. Today we had the team presentation, and I have to say again, it was a very well organized presentation in a very beautiful avenue. The atmosphere itself in the city is difficult to measure really, because a lot is closed by high barriers, so the normal cycling fans, which is just passing by, can't really get in touch. But we could still feel there was a lot of people around, wanted to see how the tour is going, and wanted to see us riders. Also, we just got the message that all of our recently COVID tests from Wednesday is in our team all negative. So, of course, we are really happy about that, and we can really focus on the race. And so Saturday is game on from the very beginning. Obviously, it's a very important stage for all teams, but especially also for our team, since you have the chance to go for yellow. Still, in my opinion, it's kind of a 50-50 if it can arrive to a sprint, or if it will be a smaller group passing the climbs, but still I have the feeling that most sprinters can pass and we will have a fair large bunch sprint. I mean, everybody should be quite fresh when we start on Saturday. So I expect a sprint on the promenade in Nice. My job will be to place Sam Bennett, which seems to be in a very good shape, and he's almost local here. He lives in Monaco. He knows Nice really well. I'm looking very much forward to Saturday's stage. Hope we can pass the climb well and set up a really good sprint for Sam. And the dream is to take yellow. With the team we have here, we have, as I see it, a lot of opportunities. We have guys for stage hunters, for breakaways. We have, obviously, Julian, who always perform very high in the Tour de France, and we have, of course, big expectations for him, but I think everybody is looking forward to see him on fire.
This is Tom Southern, sports director at EF Pro Cycling. Just going to kick off my audio diary. Just come back from the team presentation, which concludes a pretty long day for the boys, and to be honest, one of my least favourite days of the year. It's a bit like when you have a group of mates going from pub to pub on a night out, when you have to drag people this way and that, and they're always getting distracted. We kicked off this morning at 7 with anti-doping, then training, sort of recon of a descent from the first stage, which will be important, and then pretty much immediately followed by leaving for Nice for the required headshots for TV. Quite a bit of waiting around, to be honest. The rider briefing with the sports directors and the riders and Mr. Prudhomme. And then team presentation. Everything in Nice kind of muted, obviously for the right reasons of not getting crowds, etc. Which has kind of given the overall feel of the race so far a very different feel. This week before the tour is really busy with sponsors and managers and guests and so on and so forth coming, and it's interview requests and press, and it's a hectic week. Apart from today, this week's been super quiet. We haven't seen anyone up at our hotel, sharing a hotel with Astana, but we don't see them apart from their vehicles in the car park, and they don't see us. So yeah, no journalists coming around, very few sort of additional people. Kind of nice in one way, because less distractions, but also it's just a very different feel, which is going to be, I would guess, the theme of this year's race. Otherwise, from inside the team, all seeming pretty good so far, pretty relaxed. So, calm day tomorrow, and then kick off Saturday.
Hello, fellow listeners. My name is Lukas Pöstlberger. I ride for the World Tour team Bora-Hansgrohe, and I'm here at my third Tour de France in a row, so kind of hat-trick. Yeah, tomorrow we get it started. Everything is done. COVID test, team presentation, final preparation, training, planning. You can feel the tension already a little bit, especially from the guys that are the first time here at the Tour. We have one in the team, it's Felix. You feel a difference, actually, to the past. It's more restricted and yeah, more strict. But on the other hand, it's more calm, especially before the Grand Départ. Not so many journalists around and not so many interviews given. And yeah, well, everybody's taking care of the distancing and to stay healthy and keep the bubble alive. It's a great honor and actually a great chance to do the Tour this year and to be able to race. We all are really pleased and we all are really looking forward to finally get the show started and do a good race and good results and enjoy cycling on the biggest stage in the world.
Hey guys, Sam Bewley here from Mitchelton Scott, getting ready to line up in my first Tour de France tomorrow. It's been a pretty busy couple of days here in Nice so far with a bit of recon and then obvious medical tests and COVID tests. Had the team presentation last night, which was, although it was scaled down compared to other years in a lot of senses. Still bloody cool for me to be there, and I know my parents were watching on TV back home in New Zealand, so they would have been stoked to see me up on stage, and I certainly had a big smile on underneath my mask, unfortunately, so they couldn't see it. But I'm bloody excited to be lining up tomorrow. It's been a long time coming for me, and been something I've been working towards for a number of years after doing laps of Italy and laps of Spain, but taking my last chance to relax today, actually. Try not to think too much about it. Got the feet up. Stepping into Game of Thrones, actually. One of the few people in the world who hasn't watched Game of Thrones yet, so that's going to get me through the tour, especially with solo rooms, given the nature of health in the world at the moment. We've got our own rooms, which is a change, so good TV series will help me out with that, I reckon. Yeah, so excited to get into it. Bloody cool to be on the start line with a couple of other Kiwi boys as well. Obviously got Jack Bauer here and the team, Mitchell and Scott, with me. So really cool to be racing with a good mate in my first Tour de France. And I was talking to Jack a few days ago about the fact that we've both been pro for 11 years and we've never been on the same start line for a Grand Tour, even in different teams. So it's cool to be at the biggest one and in the same team. And then we've obviously got George Bennett, who's in bloody stellar form at the moment and riding for Jumbo Visma, which arguably are the favourites for this race. So excited to see what he's going to do on the road, whether it's some personal results or just helping Primoz Roglic have a shot at winning the title when we get to Paris in a few weeks' time. So, you know, very excited, and I just wanted to say hello, introduce myself, and I look forward to keeping you guys updated over the next few weeks about how my first Tour de France is going.
You are listening to Kilometre Zero by the Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app that turns indoor riding into a game. Explore endless roads, race riders from all over the world, and boost your fitness with monthly training plans and structure workout. Join the world's training playground, where fun is fast. Go to Zwift.com and start your free trial.
It's thanks to Zwift that we're able to bring you our episodes of Kilometre Zero, 15 episodes in total during the Tour de France. Thank you very much indeed to Zwift. Normally in this slot, we'll hear from riders and coaches about how they use Zwift. But Lionel, you and I have been using Zwift a lot over the last few months in particular. You had quite a novel idea this morning.
Well, I don't know whether it was a novel idea, but it did strike me when riding up the Col d'Ez for episode one of Kilometre Zero from the Tour that the whole of that stretch of coastline from Italy into France would make a fantastic virtual world for Zwift, wouldn't it? You could start off at the Cipressa and do the little Capi and the Poggio, and then make your way into France, do the Madone. Then there's a whole host of climbs out the back of Nice, isn't there? The Turini, of course, Col d'Ez, the Col de Vence. And then when you come back down to Cannes-sur-Mer, a bit like the virtual world that where you get onto the London Underground to go down to Box Hill, maybe you could get onto a pedalo and pedal quickly back to the start again in Italy and then do the whole lap again.
It was going so well until then. It got me thinking about what part of the world you would like to turn into a virtual world. And I hate to be cliched about this or predictable, but the Highlands of Scotland would be wonderful. Wouldn't Glencoe, the road up through Glencoe, riding that in a virtual way would be stunning.
Would it be virtually raining all the time up there, or is that a sort of Sassenach cliche?
That's sweat, Lionel.
I think the Sallanche World Championship course from the 1980 Worlds would be good as well. I mean, the possibilities are endless, aren't they?
Well, Zwift, hopefully you're listening, and you can have these ideas.
I'm sure the programmers will be working on getting the Col d'Ez right, getting the perfect colour of blue for the Mediterranean. As I just finish this sentence, they'll be coding away.
Let's get back to the Rider Diary, shall we?
Hello everyone from the Cycling Podcast. This is Simon Geschke speaking from the CCC team, and I'm doing my 8th Tour de France this year, and I will share some insights, some thoughts, and also We'll answer some of your questions that might come up during the next 3 weeks, and hope everyone is as excited as I am after a long break that the tour will happen this year. I mean, it wasn't clear for a long time, also not for me, and I think fans and riders are happy that everything is going to happen, and hopefully we will get to Paris. So as I said, I'm doing my 8th tour, and looking back to the team presentation yesterday, and also to my comparing it with my last departs of the Tour de France. Yesterday was, of course, very special due to this year's COVID situation, the coronavirus. Everything was held pretty small. There were not many fans and not many spectators. So this is already now in addition to remember. But there are also riders that will do their first tour, and when I think back of my first Tour de France in 2009, it actually started not far from Nice, from this year's Grand Départ. It started in Monaco in 2009, and for me it was super exciting. I was a new professional that year, didn't really know what to expect. I haven't done any World Tour races before. Even I did the Flèche Wallonne and Liège, but I never did World Tour stage races before the Tour de France that year. So I was thrown into the cold water, actually. And all my teammates, they were also debutants. Some of them did Grand Tours already, but they never did the Tour. So I couldn't count on much advice from them. But to start with something I could use of advice, I would say to riders, try to see it as a race like any other race. Of course it's not, it's still the Tour, but I was a bit, in 2009, I was a bit blown away by everything, by the spectators, by all the press, by all the hype that was around this Tour de France, and all the TV cameras. I was really not used to it, and for me, it was, or what I felt was that it was hard to focus on doing your job, actually, like riding your bike, because you were busy with so many different things around this race. And I wish I would have been already a bit more coolness already at that point. But obviously, I didn't have that as a Neo.
Good morning, here we are, D-Day, 29th of August 2020, weird one. Usually we start the Tour de France in July, this year in August, end of August actually. It's going to be a nice one. Feeling, less nervous, I would say, than before Giro and the Vuelta I did before that in my career, my young career. But now, I feel a bit not nervousness, but I feel like it's coming. So start to focus a bit more. Like, it's going to be really tricky stage. So I'll have to be 100% focused to be there with the team. And it's going to be a tough one already from day one. Concerning what would be my goals throughout that tour, the unknown really, like, my goal would be to support Egan in the high mountains, and I really hope to be ready for it. I've done the hard work, so nothing else I can do really, just keep doing the right things. And as Dave told me, we had a chat before the start,
you know, it's a big deal for him, and I just want him to go out and get to the end. So I was chatting to him yesterday about this, actually. He just said, look, I want you to get to the end and go, wow, I really, really got everything out there and I enjoyed that. And you're going to have ups and you're going to have downs and you're going to make mistakes and you're going to have good days and bad days, etc., like everybody else. But just go out and don't be scared of it, and do all the basics well, because he's going to come back one day, and I'm sure he's going to come back one day and compete for this race in his own right. So, you know, use this first experience to enjoy it and learn as much as he can. Be supportive. Take it all in. But don't be frightened of it. Don't be scared. Don't be fearful of it. And I think that goes for the whole team at the minute, really. You know, we're very, very, I haven't been in this situation for many years, really, where it feels like, you know, a bunch of young guns really going in and going to try and rip it up.
We are young. Like, the pressure is not really on us. It's on the older guys. Guys like Thibaut or
Roglic, they don't have so many years left to win that tour, so we have quite a lot, let's be honest. And yeah, just enjoy it, really see the race, learn from day to day, learn from my mistakes and everything, and that will be the main goal. And personally, I think, yeah, also just be consistent, be there in the last week, that would be the big one. So yeah, I hope that we get to Paris, to be honest. So yeah, that's it for this morning. Let's catch up this evening. I'll let you know how it went, how tricky or dodgy it was today. Hey guys, so yeah. I would say a really eventful day for me. I wouldn't wish for a worst start. It's pretty bad. I mean, the only good thing is that I'm still in the race, still fighting, and I won't give up until I can. I just, my body can't, you know. I don't want to let the team down. You know, I worked so hard to be there. There is some guys that were left home as well, and I took the spot. So no, I will fight until the end, that's for sure. Two crashes today. First one, I was actually mentally fine after the first one. I thought, okay, that's how it is. Let's carry on. I was in the cars coming back to the peloton, and second crash happened. And then, yeah, you know, when I crashed there, I was like thinking a bit, what the hell am I doing here? Why the hell I'm riding my bike, and why I do all this? But that just crossed my mind for a bit, and then I thought straight away that what I just said, you know, don't wanna let the guys down, don't wanna let the team down, and also, you know, personally, don't wanna give up. It would be really bad. I would feel really shit if I do, even worse than I am now. But now, yeah, I'll focus on my recovery, really try to heal up as soon as possible. I had some pretty bad hits on both hips because I crashed actually on both sides. So I think sleeping won't be really funny. Yeah, otherwise, all good for the team. Happy to see that everyone stayed safe.
So today it was a very chaotic stage. First stage of the Tour de France is always very hectic. All the GC leaders want to be there. All the sprinters want to be there. And it was nothing else today. And the rain did the rest. Roads got very slippery because it didn't rain for a long time. And then you have dust and dirt on the roads, and it's oily. It's really like soap as soon as it starts raining. And we could see that today with all the crashes. The nice thing about today, what I felt was actually before it was raining, the bunch was quite relaxed. It's also, I think it's because there are less spectators, there are less journalists. The huge buzz around the Tour de France is not as it's normally is. So I think that played a role. But yeah, as soon as it started raining, actually, of course, everyone got a bit nervous also because of the downhill. And for first stage in the Grand Tour, I think it was one of the harder ones. I think in dry conditions it would have been really nice also, especially for us with Matteo Trentin, to go for a good result, but that didn't happen today. But it's nothing to be said about. I think more important is that you could see today that it is possible to have unity between the riders, and everyone was quite happy, I think, or satisfied with the decision that we take it really easy in the last downhill, because there were enough crashes already, and a lot of guys went off the bikes. And I think no one wants to leave the tour on the first day already. And you always have to think about that it could be also one of your teammates crashing behind you. And I think in the end of the stage we managed really good.
So first stage of the Tour de France
2020 is now done. I'm most likely to say it was as crazy as it used to be in the first stage, especially when there's a yellow jersey up for grabs for the sprinters. It's always a very hectical stage, especially the sprint in the end. But today it was, yeah, even more hectical with the rain and the wet roads. It made it very dangerous and very slippery. There was a lot of oil on the road. Because of that, for once, I was very proud to be in a peloton, seeing how riders took care of each other, especially on the last very tricky descent. It was nothing that was kind of spoken or agreed before, but we just kind of had a situation where there was no breakaway in front. We had a lot of crashes behind. Peloton just came to an agreement that we would take it easy on that last descent and just try to make sure everybody arriving safe on the valley, and then go for the final bunch sprint. And me myself, I was sliding off the road a few times. Luckily, I wasn't down like heaps of other guys. At the 3K mark, I realized later that there was actually a crash there every lap. But personally, I was into the bunch sprint on the last lap, obviously. And we were sitting very tight. I ride over one of these walking pads straight on, didn't turn my steer, didn't do anything, just pedaling, obviously, to stay in the wheel. And then my back wheel just slid it out like half a meter or so. And luckily, Sam, he reacted fast. But unfortunately, the guys behind had no chance and went down. And that actually caused that big crash, 3Ks to go. So those white lines was completely like ice today. And yeah, I hope obviously everybody made it home and don't have too serious injuries.
Hi guys, sorry for yesterday evening, it was a bit full gas with a late finish. We arrived a little late and obviously with all the crashes I had the day before, I'm a bit full gas when I'm back. With a lot of treatments with the physio, then massage, game ready, which is called like compression boots. That I use on my hips, and yeah, just completely full gas. And by the time I had dinner, it was already almost 11. So yeah, sorry, I forgot to do my diary, but yeah, to get through my second stage, it was actually a bit better. Yeah, better than I expected. Obviously, it was hard, really hard for me. I'm far, far off the level I had from Dauphiné, but I'm staying positive. You know, it could have been much worse after the crashes. I was still up there in the group on the top of Col de Turini, and then on the way to Nice, Luke told me, if you're feeling bad, just get dropped, go in the gruppetto. That's what I did. And then yeah, I had a bit of hard time there because I had a bit of pain on my Achilles, but now it's all right. We're treating all that, and now it's good to get through a day like this, you know. It was actually, yeah, pretty hard day. So if I can get through that, I mean, it can be fine for the next few stages, you know. It's going to be hard for a couple of days, maybe a bit more, but yeah, that's the cycling, the reality of cycling. And yeah, I'll be back. I'll try to be back in that race.
Hey guys, another late evening. So yeah, second day after my crash, third stage of the tour. It's been pretty straightforward today. We started from Nice. It's actually, I'm pretty happy to get out of Nice after two, let's say, not ideal days. So yeah, towards Sisteron. And yeah, I was quite happy that it was pretty easy, let's say, today. Quite an easy pace all through the day, and then I had wind finish, so I could sit in wheels without pushing too much, because honestly, like, you know, today after the crash I felt quite empty, you know, like you always have a day that where you suffer a lot, when your body is
is fighting to heal your wounds and get back to normal. And I had that day today, at least I hope, because I was feeling pretty empty and blocked as soon as the intensity was going high. So I guess if it would have been a full on day, I would have been in much trouble. But it went quite easy all day long, and even if the stage was about 200k, I could, let's say, relax a bit and had an easier day. Quite enjoyed it, actually. Some nice sceneries in that part of France. Really loved it. First time in Cistero, and yeah, it was quite nice. So yeah, and the boys did well as well. Just finished safe. Everyone is safe and sound. So now was another good day. Let's hope that tomorrow I'll have better legs. I mean, still, you know, will be, I guess, pretty hard to help the boys, because it's a tough mountaintop finish. I mean, tough for me now, it's tough, but yeah, it's the first mountaintop finish of the race, so it's gonna be really fast up there. And yeah, another day done. Let's hope that the recovery is going in a good way. So that's it for today.